Wholesome Friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
What would you do if your mom fired you from the grave and the only way you could get your inheritance is to find true love by the end of the year? That's exactly what happens to Alex, played by Sophia Carson in The Life List. It was written by Laurie Nelson Spielman for you movie buffs out there. It was then adapted and produced by Adam Brooks.
Yeah.
Great movie. And you can find it on Netflix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a cute show. I liked it.
It was a cute show.
Yeah, it really was. I think, and it came out 2025. So it's fairly recent. Rom-com.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty relevant. I loved the questions. I loved the premise.
There's a lot of things that make you sort of think about your own life and decisions mm-hmm. that you've made and, in your own life, I think. That's what I liked about it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. And the emotional beats. Like, I was like, within the first 5 minutes, probably crying. And then 5 minutes later, laughing. Then, you know, it was just like that roller coaster. Mm-hmm. They took me on a ride. It was well done.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. I loved it. So, and I mean, I will say, because I'm getting ready to get rid of kids again. And like, for whatever reason, it's hitting me kind of hard right now because this may or may not be the case, but so far, like, my kids have gone away and then come home for the summer. That's how it's been. And I know, like, when I left home, I left for good. Like, I never turned back.
Oh, absolutely.
So like, this is a year that I'm like, I just feel it in my gut. Like, that my oldest is probably not going to come back next summer.
No.
Well, because they're actually like signing like year-long leases.
In Moscow, they make you do that.
They do. There's no way around it. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, you either break your lease or you just pay, which they love, to not live there.
Oh, yeah. That's usually what everyone does.
Well, I don't know. I think it worked really well for Owen. I was sort of bummed. I thought, oh, gosh, you're just going to waste three months rent. But since he moved, it works as a storage unit for them as well.
Okay.
Because if they didn't, they'd
have $1,000 a month storage unit.
Well, no, I mean, I felt like it was so easy for Owen to leave all of his stuff there, not bring it all the way home.
I needed to hear this.
So he brought a few things home, clothes and stuff, left everything there. And now he's actually going back to school the day before class starts.
Because he's already moved.
So he can actually, and on fire crew, dude, if you get put on a big fire right before, I mean, 3 days, that pays for a lot.
He's working right up to the very last day. Yeah. So, I mean, look at it like that. It doesn't mean he's not going to come home. It just means he's not so far.
He can't come home for like a long weekend and visit. And then he can be loud and work out in the middle of the night, and it won't bother me.
Yeah.
I love you.
But could you imagine the thing
that
was just...
Well, he doesn't do that. He's so good. He's so conscientious. No. Sorry. But no, that's what I'm thinking, so he's going to be moving out.
Yeah.
And he's got like a semi-serious girlfriend. And so I'm all like, okay, let's talk about condoms. Make sure you never run out.
When you go camping, don't leave the package of condoms in.
Make sure they're in every, like my toothbrush is like, I have a toothbrush here. It's like that level.
Do you remember when you made me the uterus pinata? When I had my hysterectomy.
That's right. Put condoms in there.
That was the neighborhood in high school. That was like the neighborhood condom supply.
Oh my God. You're welcome.
I know. But then I was like, thinking, I don't know if I should have this be the neighborhood condo. I just was like, I just put him in the downstairs bathroom. So all the kids were in and out of my house. And I put him in a spot where there was just like,
you can take it
if you guys need anything in that little section, just help yourselves. I don't need to know about it. But then I was thinking later, I was like, I don't know if, I mean, we didn't bash open the pinata. So I was like, but we did kind of break it open. I'm like, wouldn't that be awful if one of those condoms got hurt?
Damaged in a way.
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about condoms. Like, and that's part of the conversation that I had was like, you can't leave them in the sun.
I know.
That will damage them. Yeah. They will they will become faulty condoms. Yeah. And there's nothing worse than a faulty condom.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you go through the hassle of doing the right thing and then it breaks. And
I know. I was like, and there's no such thing as a condom that's too big. Because you can literally fit them over your legs. So no guy can ever use that excuse.
I could totally see you trying that, Lisa.
If I had a reason to put a condom on.
I don't know. I feel like this is a new event that's going to happen at my warped version of field days for my
condom over my leg.
No, I just, it might be part of the obstacle course race where you have to slip condoms on up, you know, wear condoms as thigh highs, or I don't know. I'm just gonna. I'm like, my poor.
Can you put a condom on with your teeth?
Ooh.
I mean,
you put a condom on with your.
Oh, you guys cannot tell me. Well, you got married right away, but you guys can't tell me that you.
What?
Never mind.
Sorry, you guys didn't see that.
We just digress all
that
the time.
That never happened.
Anyway, these are the conversations I'm having.
Yeah, well,
instead of like important life list questions.
Oh, that's true. But also, you know, I mean, could you imagine being in the mom situation in this movie where you're dying and your kids.
Yes.
You're going to miss all of that happening for your kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, them transitioning into adults, you're going to miss being there with them and helping them when they have their kids. Oh. And you're going to miss helping them get through the heartache. And
I'm telling you, that was heartbreaking. I mean, those were the moments where I was bawling my head out. It was pretty much every time that she got to see her mom again.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So
once again, you know, like having a like a tangible thing that you can look like a book that, you know, somebody has written, a journal, a letters. Mm-hmm. This Elizabeth Rose is Alex's mother and she dies of cancer and she leaves Alex DVDs. But she gets them not all at once, but one by one.
Yeah. So she's in this conference room with all of her siblings and their respective spouses. And she's the youngest, I think. And she's the one that's, she's not married yet. She hasn't found her life partner
yet.
And so, I think the sister-in-law, like, so she is learning to become like take over her mom's position in this role. And it's given to her sister-in-law, a big makeup business.
Yes.
Yeah.
And her mom's made it on her own. It was her mom's company. She built and grew it.
Yeah. And she was kind of excited to take that role on.
Yeah.
And the reason she kind of got pulled into that was because she had been teaching and she just lost her love for it. And she kind of left that career and kind of got swept into that world of business. But she gets fired from the grave and the lawyer, is told that he's got to present her with those one at a time as she accomplishes things.
Brad is a very young, lawyer and has, Elizabeth Rose has asked him specifically to be the executor. Thank you.
Yes.
executor. I wanted to say that and I knew that wasn't the right word.
Executioner.
Executor.
I mean, you could look at
the executor. Oh my God, I can't say the
executor.
Executor of the will. And Alex is like, what? You are like a baby. Why are you in charge of this?
Because they were used to like the senior partner, like dealing with the mom's business.
Yeah. And but, you find out later that Elizabeth Rose has done it
for a reason, on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because he's young and she feels like he can, you know, relate to her and help her through this more than like an old man would. You know, once again, the mother's really thinking.
She knows her daughter well.
Yeah. And, and the thing that's even more heartbreaking, because like, they were tight. Like they were very close.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It broke my heart.
Well, and so what she's getting, so the premises of the movie is a mom. Alex wrote a life list when she was 15.
13.
Yeah. Oh, I was even younger.
Yeah. So like, even that age range, like the things that you're looking forward to are so
unique. Oh, yeah.
Because I've done a couple over my life.
Yeah, I know. I love your
life list. I did one in high school. It's like a health class thing. Like we have to sit down and do a life list. I wish I could find it now.
You know what? I just was going through a bunch of stuff in my garage and found a journal and, or my journal, like it was like a journal I kept between the ages of 11 and 18. Uh-huh. I also found this list in the back of the book. It's my kissing list.
Oh,
I listed.
Like you were gonna kiss?
Yeah. No, that I did kiss.
Oh, I would have kept track. It was
really bizarre because I was looking through it. I even put dates on
Date. It's like legit.
It was legit. I wonder what in the world I was thinking why I needed to take a list of all the guys I kissed. But there were people I'm like, what? I don't even remember kissing him. I kissed him 3 different times.
You put a date every time.
Yeah. And then there was a guy like, I'm like, I have no idea who that is. I texted
I want to know, like, how often were the dates overlapping?
Well, there was one that said there were 2 guys. It was like, in the same night.
That was a good night.
You're such a bad girl.
I texted my 2 friends from high school and I told them about the list and I said, I don't remember kissing this guy or this guy.
Right.
And who is this guy? my one friend's like, remember he went to East High and he drove like a red scooter. I don't remember who it is. These lists when you're young, I don't know, seem important.
Oh my gosh, they're so funny. I had my kids do like a life list when they were like in elementary school. They're just so funny. Like, go to a Pokemon convention and I want to go to Japan and see an eclipse. And I still have them and I'm never getting rid of them because they're just this cute little snapshot of time.
Do you remember when you and I woke our kids up at like 2 o'clock in the morning to go watch the lunar eclipse together?
And I was like on my deathbed sick.
That, I remember that
night. And I'm like over there, like, because Valerie's 2 houses down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm over there, like, coughing and hacking my lungs out. But I'm like, there's the blood moon. There it is. Yes.
So you were on your deathbed. Probably inspired the reason why you asked them to make a life list afterwards.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, anyway. So the Alex is given a video from Brad.
Oh, I want it. You wrote down what's on her life list.
So the life list, she sits down and watches her mom's video. Yeah. The video her mom makes. And the mom's like, I know you're feeling frustrated right now because
fired you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I promise, like, I want you to have a good life. And I feel like if you don't follow through with this list that you made at 13, you know, you might be missing out on some things. Mm-hmm. So the life list that she makes, Alex makes, is be a great teacher, make peace, not war with dad, learn to play Clair de Lune.
Help, such a pretty song.
Yeah.
My favorite. Yeah.
On the piano. Help people and make a difference. Do stand up once in my life. Then she writes, I am funny.
I I love that 13-year-old
compliment. Yes, I'm really funny. I would be able to, I'd be good. Get a tattoo, camp under a full moon, play one-on-one, play a one-on-one basketball with a New York Knick, yeah. Fake left, go right, is what she wrote down. Go all out in a mosh pit and read Moby Dick. That is her list that she needs. Oh, and then I think she's fall in love.
Yeah, fall in love. That's
the big one.
That's the big one at the end of the list. I mean, because even at 13, like,
oh, yeah,
like you're looking at wedding dresses. You know,
I probably spent more time looking at wedding dresses when I was 13 than I did before I got married.
Oh, that's totally accurate. Yes, at that age. Yeah.
We would.
You're like practicing Mrs. Jones.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Like whoever you like.
Yeah. Hearts all around. Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
Courtney Jones.
Yeah. What would my name sound good with? Oh yeah.
Do you remember you would write notes to your friends with elaborate penmanship?
Yeah.
You know, and like that was half of the art. And then you'd spend 7 hours folding the note just so.
Yes.
And the note just was like, hey, what's up, babe?
Yeah.
You would fold it. I always like to fold it in the square where you could like do the little mouth opener, you know?
Oh, yes. Those are fun.
Yeah. When I was going through all these boxes in my garage, I had notes from friends like in middle school and stuff. Yeah. And a few of them I opened up and then I couldn't figure out how to fold it back into the little triangle that it was in. It's like this 3-page note that's like in this intricate like triangle. I'm like, well, I'm throwing that one away anyway.
Special like snapshot of time.
Yes. Well, like, yes, because you did spend so much time on these like little things that.
Oh, and a 3-page note, like, because you know, it's not like you weren't going to talk to that friend in the hallway or at lunch or, you know, but still you could write 3 pages.
I mean,
of
what if we treated each other like that for the rest of our lives?
Aww.
That'd be so sweet.
No.
But it just goes to show like when you're a kid and you're learning how to make relationships, how much effort.
Yes. And thought that goes into it.
Kind of. The guys didn't really do that the same way.
I don't think that – I don't ever remember the guys I was friends with in, like,
passing
high school.
Each other notes.
No,
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
No, a guy would pass a note to a girl or a girl would pass a note to a guy, and girls would always pass notes to each other. Mm-hmm. But guys never pass notes to each other that I remember.
I don't remember that.
I mean, we're socially different.
Even as I was reading the notes I was writing at, 13, 14, it was like, oh – I just passed Jeff in the hallway and he smiled at me. What do you think that means? Do you think he likes me? Yes. No. Check the box. No.
And return.
What should I say to him next time I see him? Hi. How are you?
It's been replaced with like Snapchat. Modern day note passing.
Oh my gosh, Bob and I totally would have passed a billion notes to each other if we were in high school because we were like our little text back and forth. How are you doing?
You know that in 16 Candles, I love it when the friend like gives her a note, you know, in class, and it's like this like questionnaire, you know, who do you like? And she said, Jake Ryan. And then it's like, have you ever had sex before? She's like, no, but I'd want to or something. And then she pretends to be stretching. And she like stretches and like drops the note behind her. And her friend's asleep and doesn't get it.
And then that note goes viral around the school.
No, Jake.
He's
like kind of, I think, likes her and sees it. And then he picks up the note. And sees that she said she likes Jake Ryan.
Oh, I feel like we need to go back to notes.
We do. Maybe we need to
get back to the L. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, enough about those notes and letters.
So every time she finishes one of the assignments on her note, she gets a little video from her mom that just is kind of inspirational and explains a little bit more what the mom was hoping for her to have gotten out of that.
Yeah.
Particular.
It's reinforcing because this list is kind of hard for her. You know, she has to go back to piano lessons, mm-hmm. To learn how to play Claire de Lune. And she, you know, doing stand up that's not an easy one either.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's like one of the first, I think it's one of the first ones she does.
Yep. And she invites Brad along.
Yeah, she's like, will you come just because then you can check it off my list.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then I can get my CD. And he brings a little CD and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for her, it's kind of cute because she wants that CD so bad to see her mom again, which is just like sweet. Like, that's how she stays awake through Moby Dick.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. Well, and so she's kind of ends up developing this cute little friendship with Brad because, you know, she's asking him for advice and help with mm-hmm. some of the things on her list.
This. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know, like she ends up like helping him buy a tie. they're shopping one day because she's talking to him about something and he's like, I need to get a tie. And
that when he started liking his first girlfriend in the movie? Wasn't it like he was going to go on a date with this girl?
They've
been dating her for a while, but they had an event.
Yeah, and I think she was moving back to New York or something. She was
from Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To New York.
And so he needed to, you know, spruce things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. that's so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they just really kind of get this sweet friendship going
very
on.
Very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, Alex, you know, is reading Moby Dick and
she's on her way to become a teacher.
Oh, well, and you know what it was? Yeah. It was actually Brad who hooked her up with this connection for a teaching position mm-hmm. at this like school for kids who were like in the foster care system mm-hmm. and were really having hard times. And he's like, you know, I really think you could make a difference here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, they were having the conversations and she's just like, I don't even know how to get back into the teaching realm again. Mm-hmm. And so he directs
her
that way.
And to feel passionate about it.
Yeah.
Like, what a cool opportunity to like really make a difference.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so he's like, you know what? I know a guy.
Uh-huh.
And I can get you an in to this school.
Right.
And so then she's on her way to the first one reading her Moby Dick.
Yeah. And she looks across the subway and this very handsome man is watching her read.
He is a hottie.
Okay. Yes. And she says something about about him watching. I don't know. She makes some little comment.
Was she falling asleep? I can't remember.
Well, they were joking about how hard it was to get through Moby Dick. Like, he was like, I'm impressed you're even trying. Like, you know. Yeah. I've never even tried.
No. Yeah. They have this cute little banter. And then at the subway, like, stops and people get on. And then there's lots of people in the middle of them. And
then
she loses him.
Mm-hmm. And they go. She just goes on her way new job.
Yeah. But like Garrett is actually a shelter coordinator.
Yes.
He's a therapist for the school and she has an issue with a student and mm-hmm. she has to go talk to the coordinator and it's Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
And they hit it off. There's, you know, romance in the air.
And he actually gives really good advice. He's a good guy.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a very good guy.
He's great at what he does.
Mm-hmm. And they're kind of hitting it off.
And it sort of happens really kind of quickly, too.
It does. And like, so, like, they go from, oh, by the way, I've got this event tonight, and I think his date is canceled or something, and he's like, do you want to come?
Yeah.
And so it just segued right into, oh, we've got this thing together.
You know what, we need to talk about our first relationship because at the beginning of the movie, she was currently in a relationship and had been dating this guy for 2 or 3 years.
Quite a while.
Yeah.
They were living together.
And I think she was even engaged. They'd been engaged for that long. Maybe even longer.
I think you're right. Yeah.
And they were cute.
They were cute and stuff. But
But he was a video gamer.
Well, he was very self-involved person. Yeah. You know, he didn't, like, he wasn't really.
Oh, if you get your inheritance, we can use that to launch my video game career. Like, everything was about launching him and revolving around him.
Exactly. And I think that her mom saw that the reason her mom wanted her to do this list was because her mom saw her losing herself in the world instead of defining herself and sticking to who she was.
So and so she, and that's the main hardest thing on this whole list is to find true love. Mm-hmm. And her mom clearly knew that wasn't true love. And her sister-in-law, she reminded her about like what are the qualities of someone.
Yeah, because I think her sister-in-law was questioning whether she wanted to get married to
her brother.
Yeah.
And the mom told the sister-in-law the four questions to ask, which I just love because the mom really obviously loves the sister-in-law and wanted her to be a part of the family. I mean, she gave her company basically to run.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, and the sister-in-law already had a super high position in the company. Like this mom, like this sister-in-law was just someone the mom loved anyway.
And I loved
the
dynamics of like the sister-in-laws, the brothers, and Sophie.
Oh, yeah.
No, Alex. Sorry, that was her character name.
Yeah.
They are very close. They're like best friends.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They are a very important part of each other's life.
But it was even really important to the mom that everyone has their own autonomy. Mm-hmm. And so the mom actually told the sister-in-law the four questions to ask herself.
Yes.
To see if she wanted to marry her son, which I thought was amazing because – you know, I love my son enough to say, if you don't feel this way about him, he's not the right one for you. Don't marry him. Yeah. And also I love you as you know, a friend and a person that I want in my life. And you knew that sister-in-law, whether or not she chose to be with the son or not, was always going to be a part of the mom's life.
Yeah.
But she's like, you really need to look at these questions because I love both of you so much. I want this to be true for
and
you
to stay
together.
Interestingly enough, the mom said she never found true love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So based on, and Courtney.
So the true love test is 1, can you tell him everything in your heart? 2, is he kind? 3, does he help you become the best version of yourself? And 4, can you imagine him as the father of your children?
Okay.
Those are good.
I think 100%.
Absolutely.
That, and I think that we were pretty good about saying like how important it is to be friends.
Oh.
And I mean, you don't necessarily want to have children with your friends, but like, I feel like all of the other
things. I don't know. I feel like I raised my children with my friends
anyone else. Mm-hmm. They may not have helped you make the children. But
yeah, my friend, I mean, like you guys spent more time engaging with my children than their father did.
I could not have raised my children without
the community.
Friend. Yes.
Oh yeah. I mean, just think about how much our little boys, when they were 3, were dressing up as Spider-Man together at dance lessons. Yes. The little girls wore their tutus and the
remember?
Boys.
Oh my God. They had like the dance recital and like our boys were so little and they were, I don't know, were they flowers or something in that thing?
Ooh, something like that. And they came out and did this little almost jumping jack thing.
Yes.
Oh, and I remember Avery was like just over, Avery was like, I think she had just turned 2 at their, not quite 2 at their recital.
Yeah.
And the dance teacher was like, I need all the dancers up at the stage. And Avery wasn't even 2 yet because it was in June and her birthday's in July. Yeah. And then when she saw the boys going up on stage and the teacher called for all the dancers, she was like, she needs me. She needs me. She wanted to go up on the stage because she's like, I'm a dancer. She needs me.
I think I remember that Wiley and like Avery, the like, littler kids really wanted to be a part of it, but they were too young.
So yeah, exactly.
Every time we picked them up from dance class, they're like, can we stay and play and dance?
That was so cute.
No, maybe next year.
I know. So we would drop the kids off because we were trying to get them used to being like dropped off, and then we would go and have lunch. Usually,
yes, yeah, that's right. We did.
We go have lunch and eat lunch with the little kids while the big kids were at their dance lesson for 45 minutes or whatever it was.
Yes, I love it. So these are the things, like all four of those things.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay, you're right. You corrected me on the last one. Would you want to have children with them? Yes. Like that's what a real friend is to me, all of those things. Yeah. And that's what I would want in my life partner.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure. And that's why we tell our children to wear condoms.
Until you find a person.
Until you know.
And maybe not use the one from the uterus pinata.
Exactly.
I mean, it really, truly, though, is fitting. I'm going to break it.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I throw those out.
But I really think, though, can you tell them anything? And one thing that's kind of fun about this particular movie is this movie was known for breaking up relationships.
That's actually what got me interested in it. Like, this is the movie that's causing divorces.
Well, why do you think? Because you think people were really analyzing
every relationship has its roller coasters up and downs. And
yes.
If you're on a down part of your coaster, like you're going to evaluate it and you're going to suddenly think, oh, yeah, no, I wouldn't ever want to have children with this man. Like, look at how he parents. You know,
yeah.
And so I think that, yes, maybe in a snapshot of time, you can take this list and say like, oh, this is just not working, obviously, because this is not my true love. But if you were to reverse, you know, a year ago, you would have answered them differently. So I think it's like all about perspective.
It's like, I feel like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I really think that this movie makes you really think about your own life and your own decisions
that you've
made, and maybe reevaluating, making new choices.
And maybe
where does that lead you?
Evaluate that and you look at your relationship and you can truly honestly say, like, I don't know if I ever felt that way.
Yes.
Maybe that's a different scenario.
And I think
than
people
like
need
the
to be
roller coaster up and down. Yeah. I don't know.
And you need to be mindful of the fact that normally, like, I don't know about you guys, but for me, I don't find myself asking questions about whether or not I should be in a relationship when my relationship's in an awesome spot.
I don't.
You know, very rarely do we go, oh my God. Ah!
Yep.
You know, when.
Yay for me, I checked the boxes.
I checked all the boxes. Yeah. I mean, we stopped doing that. The 17 lists were awesome and the love quizzes when you know.
Oh, that's, I forgot about that.
You know, but like you don't do that when you're 34, you know.
Yeah.
But so I think that one thing that people need to take a grain of salt is exactly what you're saying is usually when you're starting to ask these questions is when you're not on the upstroke or when you're not at a peak.
And I will say too, like if you're on the bottom of your coaster ride right now, like it's never a bad thing to talk to a professional.
I so agree.
Yeah. And figure that out and work through that. You know?
Exactly. And so in this particular case, so Alex, she reviewed her current boyfriend about this. And I think what she realized where do you think he kind of fell short on her list? I think it's does he help you become the best version of yourself?
I think he was kind. But
yeah,
none
he
of
was.
The other things could she see.
Yep.
And he wasn't always kind. He was
pretty
selfish.
I think too, like she started telling him about like, you know, how she was feeling about something. And he was not listening to her. He just kind of started talking over her about the video game and she just felt not heard.
Yeah.
And that was, I think she started thinking right then, she's like, wait, he's not listening to me. I can't tell him like what I'm feeling right now. And I'm feeling a lot. My mom just died.
Absolutely.
And, you know, like this huge list is something I have to accomplish. And like, there's a lot going on
what he was like, oh yeah, let's use that for my video game. That was that moment.
She's like,
yeah,
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was kind of more along the lines of, oh yeah. Okay. Well, we'll just, you know, he was kind of almost a little flippant about the, well, if we get married, that just proves that, like, I'm kind of your true lovey. And they had been engaged forever, and yeah. he hadn't, like, just moved forward so with it. But now it was sort of like, oh, well, I'll finally marry you. And so then that'll prove I'm your true love. So then you can check that box. So that's yeah. easy. You got that one taken care of, uh-huh. you know? And it's like, oh, so you're marrying me so I can get my inheritance money.
Yeah.
And that's finally what is getting us past the finish line on that task. It just, she had a lot of aha moments that
yeah.
were brought up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when you're dealing with something like that, mm-hmm.
so now
that's pretty enlightening about the people that support you. You
know what I mean? Well, my ex-husband, like with my grandma was my main, you know, was my main parent. And,
yeah, that's right.
And yeah. And when she died, so when his dad died, when we were in college,
right.
I was working more than full time and taking 23 credits, and I put everything on hold for a week and came up to Sandpoint and cooked for them, watched his younger brother and sister, ironed all their clothes so they could, you know, they didn't have to think about anything. I'm like, I'm cooking, I'm cleaning, I'm ironing your clothes. And I just dropped everything. Like mm-hmm. I had to actually redo the only class I've ever, and I had to keep my 4 point for my scholarships. Mm-hmm. And so I had to I had to drop one class. And
yeah, so you did a lot.
And so, yeah. And then when my grandma died the next year,
she was like your mom.
She was my mom, essentially. Yeah. And he didn't even go to her funeral with me because he didn't want to miss work. And then 2 days later, he took a day off to go snowmobiling.
Red flags.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, so it's just like, whoa.
The way people show up for you when you're at your worst.
Exactly.
You know, that's very telling.
But, you know, you don't, in your head, you justify it when you're in the moment because you're just mm-hmm. sort of there.
Yeah. Well, you're just getting through it.
Yeah. And so you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess that makes sense. And then I offhandedly found out the other thing about snowmobiling after the fact. And it's like, that's really shitty.
Yeah, it absolutely was.
So
yeah.
I like that this list made you think about stuff like that. And yeah. so when she meets this really mm-hmm. nice guy, Garrett,
yeah.
you know, she's yeah. like, oh, this guy. And he was listening to her problems. Mm-hmm. Like
He was checking those boxes.
He was checking those boxes. But
and he was helping her become the best version. She was becoming an amazing teacher.
She really was. Absolutely. Yeah.
She was feeling good about herself. They mm-hmm. were like doing lots of fun things together, mm-hmm. Just enjoying each other's company.
But I mm-hmm. think the cool thing that the mom realized is that as a person, her daughter would lose herself in other people
mm-hmm.
and not... And her daughter had a hard time holding her own autonomy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When so she went into talk about like that dinner scene.
Yeah, that's a great because, point. Because
okay, this is when they were going so great, but she realized like I'm always being brought into his world. Why isn't he coming into mine?
Yes.
And it's important for me to have that autonomy. Mm-hmm. So she's like, I want you to meet my friends.
Yeah, have a dinner. Like, we've never had dinner at my house. And he's like, yeah, well, that's
you've
because
you've never even been to my house. Yeah. Like, you don't even know about like my broken armchair.
Exactly.
Yeah. Those little things. So on, he comes over and on the wall is pasted that on that yellow legal pad paper from her 13-year-old life list is posted the life list. And he's, you know, he looks over, he sees a lot of things are getting checked off.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But you know, the most important thing, find true love. Like that's not checked off. And they've mm-hmm. been dating for, I would say 5 or 6 months.
I would say, really, yeah.
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 You know, they,
it was getting to that point.
Yeah.
And
they
were
going to make decisions about where they were going to be living in the future.
And like, she was getting down to the hard parts. Like she had mm-hmm. the hard ones left. She had the find true love. And then she had the one about make peace with her dad. And that came with a huge little side that we'll talk about later.
That did. So they're at the dinner party at her house and, you know, she's with her friends that he's never met and they are just engaged in lots of like, mm-hmm. you know, fun banter and like, remember this, remember that, remember this.
Well, and her friends were pointing out the fact that he actually doesn't know details about her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their friends were like, you know, just,
you don't know about this.
You don't know about this. Like, how could you not know that she hates chocolate ice cream and she's a vanilla girl or, you yeah. know, nothing. That wasn't the exact example, but yeah, those yeah. types of things where you're sort of like, how is it that, how is it that you've never done things that are important to our friend, that are part of what makes her, her? You don't know anything about that.
And the other thing that she had pointed out before was like at one of his dinner parties, she's like, can you please not bring up the list? Like, I feel like I'm like your little showcase here. And I don't want to bring it up in front of your friends.
Yeah.
But inevitably it gets brought up at her dinner party.
Yeah.
And I think that was kind of the nail in the coffin, because her friend just offhandedly makes some remark like, well, why haven't you crossed that one off with Garrett here?
Which is pretty blatant. Like,
oh yeah. Which is
not a good, friend.
It puts them both in like an awkward position.
Yeah.
It did. It did. And you know, everybody clears out and he is upset.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of being like mopey in the room. He's like being kind of like a child.
Pouty.
If you've been in that situation where like you're being brought into someone else's atmosphere that you haven't, and they're not making an effort to like include you.
And that's true. She wasn't making a big effort to include him. I think, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying, that wasn't happening. He felt very excluded. Like that was the dynamic I was watching unfold.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In fairness, though, they had a billion dinner parties at his house. Mm-hmm. And the only way he ever brought her into the conversation or kind of included her into was because of the life list.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he never brought her in outside of the life list in their conversations before. So she had always just gotten herself into the conversation. Like she did it on her own.
She had to make that effort.
And so this is a question I
have.
But
things that she wasn't like as interested in, like that wasn't like her, like she's more down with just joking, reminiscing, like, you know, that's her people there.
Yep. And they were, and his conversations were very serious based.
Very intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was pretty obvious that Garrett was kind of looking down a little bit on their playfulness.
Yes.
And she is a very playful person. Yeah. And the friends were kind of almost like, dude, this guy doesn't get that you're a playful person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-mm. He was trying to make her be in his world.
Yeah. And she was so, he wasn't being mean about anything. I think what had happened is that she didn't know that she was changing herself to fit his world.
Yes, which, and I think,
and he didn't do it to her.
Wrong with him being a little bit more serious and intellectual, and her
absolutely
being fun and playful. I think that you can like help bring the playfulness out of someone that's serious. You can help bring some seriousness into somebody that's playful. Like you can help grow each other that way.
I have no clue what that looks like.
She was being absorbed into his
little
orbit, and they realized like this is weird. We're not who we are with each other.
Yeah. We're not compatible.
Well, and then at that point too, he leaves her, without a ride.
Yeah. High and dry.
High and dry. So this important moment in her life, she had discovered that, you know, when she's trying to make peace with her dad, you know, the dynamics of her relationship with her mom, like it was always really hard for her brothers because they felt like outsiders between the two of them.
Yeah.
And he made some comment about how like your mom's, you know, she's not perfect like you think she is.
Yeah.
And she's like, what does that even mean? And she kind of like read between the lines and's like, oh, like something happened between you and mom. Like, did mom cheat on you?
Yeah.
And he just kind of shut down, and she realized like, and he finally, for the first time,
had a real conversation with her.
Mm-hmm. A lot that she never knew. And part of that was, I'm not your real father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was rough for her.
It would have thrown me on a tailspin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, to lose your mom and then realize you never knew your biological father. Mm. Not that he
was still her dad. Amazing father. He still was he was her dad.
Yeah, and her dad. Yeah, he may not have fathered her, but he was her dad.
Yes. Exactly. And he loved her.
Yes. He loved her. Know, and I mean, what a cool guy.
He was.
I mean, I think, and I think that one of the things that I think helped with her checking that one off her list was realizing, oh my God, my dad loved me so much that even knowing these things, he still always loved me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped her kind of understand why she was kind of different than everyone else, because she was a little different. Yeah. You know, she had these more
she
playfully.
She grew to this place, but initially, all she could see was all of the times that he may have slighted her a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So because she was just in a tailspin, and she's like, I need to find my real dad.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? And she develops an even deeper friendship with Brad, her lawyer, because she tells him and he helps her find her real father.
Yeah.
He pays for a private detective.
Yeah.
Because in his line of work, he's like dealing with divorce, you know, you have to find the deadbeats. So I've got my people.
And so the thing that Garrett walked away from when they basically broke up that night, that she was with her friends, but their friendship wasn't even strong enough for him to follow through, because he was supposed to drive her to go meet her biological father.
Yeah. Yes. And he just doesn't say anything.
She
has to find another ride, and she calls Brad, who's become her really good friend at this point.
Yeah.
And they drive up together with Brad's girlfriend.
Yeah.
And they're having such a great time.
Yeah. And she's in the back seat.
Yeah. They're playful. They're singing songs.
And she matches Brad
his energy
way more than
Nina,
Brad's girlfriend of like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. And they're just like fun.
Yeah.
You know, they have such fun, playful personalities.
Yes.
And Nina's pretending to be asleep.
Uh-huh.
And she I love the part where, like, gosh, she's so beautiful. Look at her. Even her ears are so perfect.
I love it. I mean, because you can totally tell that they are completely platonic. Like, they are super platonic. And she's like, oh, she's so beautiful. Your girlfriend's so beautiful.
Uh-huh. Which is what you can do with a good friend.
Oh, you can totally be like, don't screw this one up. Like, she's nice and she's beautiful. And she's like, you'd be a dumbass. She's perfect. Uh-huh. You know?
Yeah. But it's crazy because somehow Nina sees the energy between
the
two.
Yeah.
And she's like,
she's watching them.
Yeah. Check into the hotel.
As they're checking in at the hotel.
And everyone assumes that those two are the couple, not Nina and
them. She pictured it. She was like, oh my God, this is what's happening.
Yeah. And Nina actually was sort of like, I'm not his person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so here she is, and they don't know that.
Yeah, they're clueless about it. Like, there has not been any romantic feelings passed between the two of those. Nothing. Everything has been totally on board the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never a hint of anything that wasn't platonic.
Right.
Yeah. And so she flies back to New York and leaves Brad and Alex alone.
Yep.
Yeah. In a very vulnerable moment for Alex, which kind of sets them up for.
Yeah. Because because Alex's biological father was a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And also Brad just got dumped by the girl he thought he was going to marry.
And he keeps this in. He doesn't say anything.
He doesn't.
And he's just present for Alex in this moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Brad just went through something. Yeah. Yeah. Brad just went through something so much worse than what Garrett went through.
Mm-hmm.
And Garrett, who was, you know, just dumped her on her butt and stuff like that.
Yes.
And didn't help her out his friend, because they didn't have really that much of a friendship.
Yeah.
Whereas Brad is like, okay, I just had something terrible happen to me, but I'm not going to let my friend down in my friend's moment of need.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to let this moment be about her.
Friend.
Yeah.
That's so hard.
It is. So I'm going to let this moment be about her and help her with her situation.
Yeah. So she meets her dad. Yeah. And I think that was so pivotal for her to understand, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. what, to understand what a real dad is.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I loved that part where he's like, you know, I actually did drive by to check on you and I saw your dad.
And she's like
running to you from at the car. And I drove on by.
Yeah. He's like, you had a dad. You didn't, yeah. you know, I'm your father, but that's your dad.
Yeah. So I think, you know, she was really upset because they were going to meet again the next day. But I think that he did the kinder thing by standing her up and
absolutely.
Not showing up because yeah. he knew, like, you know, you met me.
Yeah.
You don't need to fantasize about, like, I'm going to be a total douchebag.
Yeah.
I leave you high and dry, which was the kindest thing I think he could have done.
It was. It was really nice. And I thought it was really cool, too, how Brad understood mm-hmm. that and knew mm-hmm. that she was going to be alone
yeah.
for breakfast this yeah. morning. Because they have a moment after she meets her dad. They have a moment. They have their first non-platonic
oh, they do.
Moment, which could be really awkward because she doesn't know that, like, yeah, he broke up with his girlfriend. She just thought that she had to rush back.
And,
you
but
know.
He knew that she and Garrett had broken
yeah,
up.
Yeah, so he knew everything was legit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. she didn't know, which kind of made me a little bit like, that
Alex,
you kind of made a little bit of an icky there, but,
yeah.
but anyway, they have a non-platonic moment.
They have sexy times. Oh.
They have sexy times. And then he's still, so in the morning, she could have had two people stand her up mm-hmm. because.
Yeah.
You know,
like he could have been like, what did I just do?
Absolutely. Now he knew that he was not being a dick, but she
didn't know that.
She didn't know that he wasn't being a dick. And she also didn't know that I was kind of a little bit unimpressed with the fact that she had no remorse over hooking up with a guy who had a girlfriend. Because in her mindset, she was hooking up with a guy who was in a serious relationship with a really yeah. nice girl.
Yeah.
Who was super sweet and yeah. super kind. Like, she was being
a douchebag.
She was
kind of actually friends with, too.
Yeah, yeah. exactly. I mean, yeah. like, and she had no remorse over being a douchebag the next morning. And I was a little disappointed in her character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and then she yeah. gets mad at Brad.
yeah.
Just right after for what I think that he didn't tell her.
Yeah, as they're driving back and, like, you know, it's raining outside, it's yeah. dark, so you know it's like there's something ominous about mm-hmm. to happen.
Yes, exactly. you know. Cue the rain.
Yes, cue the rain. There will be tears. No. Yeah, she's mad that he withheld that information and that he made her out to be a, you know.
But she was.
And yeah. she felt bad about it. So I think, like,
I wish her character never addressed that.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that was like, oh, she's still a little immature.
Yeah.
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 She hasn't fully grown yet. She still needs a little more time to think about stuff and review yeah. her yeah. emotions and feelings. But I think we should leave it here because what happens Absolutely. Is she leaves the taxi mm-hmm. or Brad drops her off and mm-hmm. she's mad at Brad. She yep. goes into her apartment and there's Garrett
begging for her.
Yeah. So, yeah. you know, I feel like we need to leave it as, like, does she make that emotional growth and find true love? And
Absolutely.
Who does she find it with? Is it with mm-hmm. Brad or Garrett?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is she going to check off her life list?
Yeah.
yeah. And she gets everything else done on her list.
She made up with her dad.
Yep. She'd yeah. done everything on her list. And so.
Yeah. So how do you overcome that? And the person she does end up with, because it's a romance. And
oh,
you know
yeah.
She does.
You know she ends up with someone.
yeah. I honestly think.
Yeah. How long?
How long will they last?
Well, I mean, I guess we could say both of them, like do.
Oh yeah, do it for, no, because that's a giveaway too. So let's just do the one and we won't tell people.
Well, no,
who it
I think if we say, if she ends up with Garrett, what do you think? If she were to end up with Brad, what do you think?
Yeah, but don't you think that we would have a observer's bias towards making the one that she ends up with longer?
Well, based on what we know.
Okay.
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 So according to the life list,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if we're going to base it off of those four questions, does he, can you tell him everything in your heart? Garrett?
Oh yeah.
No.
Brad?
Yes.
Okay. Can you, is he kind?
They're both kind.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Does he help you become the best version of yourself?
They both are that way.
Yes.
Can you imagine him as the father of your children?
And I could see both of them being an amazing father.
I could say yes to that too.
So there's only one.
There's one.
Garrett doesn't quite. Can you tell him
everything in your heart?
I think she kind of can, but I still think he doesn't listen wholeheartedly.
I agree.
Which is interesting.
Because
he's like
a psychologist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what he does. And he's actually really good at his job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he can't carry that over into his own personal relationships, which I think is part of his growth too. So if she were to end up with Garrett, which he's a great choice, like they're both.
I mean, you're choosing between like, you could live happily ever after with both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that, so my thing for her happily ever after isn't really so much coming down to the partners, but it's coming down to that element of emotional growth I think that she needs to develop, which is when she did something bad, she never acknowledged that she did something bad.
She deflected. Someone else.
And that, to me, is not someone who's ready to be in a long-term relationship yet.
Yeah.
Yes. So...
So for me, I'm like, okay, but so for me, I'd be like, okay, which of these two partners is going to call her out on that? And I think Garrett might be better at that than
absolutely
than Brad.
Yeah.
I think Garrett would actually
see her through and help her grow.
Would. So I think in that situation, Garrett, and I think that because if you look at the basis of the other character's more like her, Brad is more like her. And would just beat around the bush and probably never make that have to be resolved in order for the relationship to be viable.
Help her resolve that. And in the process, he might become more aware of who he is.
So truly speaking, I think with Garrett, she actually has a higher potential to, they're both going to help her be a nice, kind person in the world and universe. But I think with Garrett, she probably has a little bit more of a chance because
they can challenge each other.
Yes.
Because sometimes, I'm curious what you think about this. Like when you are so similar to, because I oscillate like, is it better to be with someone that matches your energy and like enjoys all your same interests? Or is it better to be with somebody that's kind of like, got a lot, enough similarities that you're interested, but some big things that are very different than you.
Yeah.
So that you're challenged and that you can kind of meet each other in each other's places and grow in as a person versus somebody that's like, that you're really comfortable with and you just get to be who you are. What's the difference? Because I think that's the difference between the two.
Comes down to how good you are at autonomy. Mm. Because if you're good at, I think a lot of people will go to a safe choice if they're not good at holding their own boundaries.
So
if
safe
they
choice
will lose,
is Brad.
Brad is a safe choice because he operates the same way she does.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But they may end up 10, 15 years down the road with the elephants taking over the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So Garrett, her biggest fear is if she doesn't learn how to hold her own autonomy, she will end up 20 years down the road going,
being overly
going, I didn't live my life. I lived his life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's the one flaw with Garrett and hers relationship is
she's not autonomous enough yet to be with somebody like Garrett.
Yes. And so, Garrett actually kind of, Garrett also, because of his flaw,
her.
to be that. Like he likes that she would groom to him
into his life.
So that's his fatal flaw, is that he's sort of okay with someone being groomed to him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And her fatal flaw is that she'll be groomed.
Yeah.
Unless she learns to hold her own autonomy. However, the nice thing is that Garrett's not going to let her get away with that fucked up, I'm going to shift accountability.
Yeah, he would hold her accountable for sure. But he's going to want to have her be what
he wants. But he would absorb her if she'll let herself be absorbed.
Yeah. And her growing is just ultimately really thinking about what is truly going to make her happy.
So the bottom line is she's gotten through this life list, but who are you now?
And her mom's...
Are you your own person?
And I think that was the goal for the mom. I think the mom's goal was, what is your autonomy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why in this situation, I can see her actually, if she has risen to full autonomy, she will probably become the better end person.
Yeah,
being with Garrett.
Yeah. So where we're leaving it off, though, she hasn't gotten there.
Yeah.
So I think she would last a very long time with Brad.
Oh yeah, and she would grow to resent Garrett.
Yeah.
Within a couple years after the chemistry.
Probably
wore off.
After with Garrett, she So it really comes down to she's doomed in either relationship if she doesn't own her accountability. And part of autonomy is being able to self-reflect and own your own shit.
Yes.
So I don't think she's fully there yet. I think she's made a huge step in the right direction with this list. But I don't think she's ready for a long-term relationship with either one.
Yeah.
Until she fixes that other part, she's not going to live happily ever after
forever. And I think that's true of everyone.
Absolutely.
So like if you go into a relationship with another person and you are not fully whole, like your batteries aren't 100% charged. Mm-hmm. I love the analogy. This is Hank's analogy, by the way.
I love Hank.
Because Hank was in our Zumba class and he was like the token male. And he brought the energy to that room.
He did. Hank lit up in your room.
And he was probably, I don't know, like the same age, close to my dad's age, but he was so much advice. And like just so, wisdom. And I loved.
And he lived his advice. Yeah. He lived it.
So, but his advice, like his analogy was, if you come to a relationship without your batteries fully charged, the one that's not fully charged is going to drain the other.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of true.
I think that's true.
That's kind of how it works.
Yeah. I loved his decision. Like he was a brilliant man and he gave up like all of the money, all of the, you know, all of the everything.
Because he needed to go get
to be with his kids. He needed to be, he needed to take care of his kids.
Yep. So anyway, that's I think what the life list is trying to teach us. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people came away with it just saying, oh, this list isn't fitting my life. And I think if you're in that situation where you're like thinking that, oh gosh, you know, they're not meeting all of these, you know, boxes.
Yes.
Maybe charge your batteries and like work on yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's exactly.
I think that's what the takeaway is.
Yep.
So,
how realistic is the...
Super realistic, I think. And not that your mom is going to die of cancer and be super rich. And
But the wisdom of the mother
is amazing.
Was incredible.
I
think moms are very wise.
Moms are. And I think if you know you're going to die, what can you possibly give your children?
To help them through it.
I mean, through you dying, especially if you have a really close, and stay with them and still help them through their hard times. And so Elizabeth put a lot of thought into how she could do that for Alex.
Well, and how do you kindly and beautifully address your kids' weaknesses with them in a... I want to help you.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that was Elizabeth's thing is like, I don't have time to not bring this up with you. Yeah. Like, I don't have time to let you just live your life and have it unfold. And you need to understand this about yourself, but I'm not going to come straight out and say, you have no fucking autonomy.
So one of the things, okay, just another quick side note. In my own personal life, like, I went through this with breath,
mm-hmm.
and I had gotten totally absorbed.
Oh.
And I changed everything about, I lost who I was. I did not know.
Guilty here too.
And we had to be apart for a long time, you know? And during that time, I'm like, I need to figure out who I am.
Absolutely.
And I spent, probably stayed up 7 hours. I got 2 hours of sleep because
I know. You were scaring me, girl. Oh,
well, that was life, that moment. And so I just made this life list. It's got 101 things.
I remember.
And to this day, I have it in my safe. I pull it out every so often. I look at it and I actively work on it
because
I'm like, I'm never going to lose myself again. Like, and I've got this. Like,
that's so smart.
Kind of guide.
I love that I'm prone to lose myself in people too. Like I'm prone to that too. And I need to make a life list because I don't have the dedication to do that. And I don't think that that's very fair to my partner.
No, it's not, because you're draining each other.
Well, so. I'm expecting, you know, one of the things, cop outs when you give over your autonomy,
mm-hmm.
is then you start resenting the other person that you're giving your autonomy to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not really a fair.
That's not fair to them.
To like them.
You weren't setting your boundaries.
Yeah. Like, and enforcing your boundaries. And also the thing is that you need to be a complete person inside of you. And so the weird thing is people don't understand that it's actually way easier.
Yeah.
To just go with the flow than it is to keep yourself. And so that's why with this choice that she has to make, you know, Brad is the easier choice.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, how are they destined to be together?
Mm-hmm.
One or the other. I mean,
oh yeah. Yeah. Those cards were stacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those CDs were stacked.
Yeah. Well, how spicy was it? I think it was just like green pepper. I think it was.
Yeah.
There was some kissing.
Yeah, and we never saw anything on scene.
Yeah.
No
80s, like, fan moments where the clothes were coming off and we saw boobies.
Yeah, they love to have those nipples on.
And in the 80s, like, why was it that always there was a breeze that would come through and the curtains,
suddenly the clothes would shift.
Yeah, and then we'd see the side boob.
Yeah.
And the silhouette.
Cinematics of it, yeah.
I mean, I think we discussed, does it matter? I mean, I think the movie does matter. It makes people really think about and evaluate their lives.
It was titled The Life List, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think what happened with this movie is that people got so caught up in those four things that you need to look for in your partner that they forgot the point of the movie was the life list.
And the self-autonomy.
And that was what the true growth and how you can find true love.
Absolutely. The only way you can find true love is to be the best version of yourself.
On your own.
On your own.
Yeah.
And share and find a person that you can share that with that supports you in being the best person that you can be. Because that's the person you're going to want to have babies with.
Yeah.
Really, that this list comes down to who helps you be the best version of you and who can you tell anything to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the other two things, like if you want to have babies with them and I can't remember what's the other one. Are they kind? Oh, well, kind, definitely. Hopefully that's just a given into, you know, who helps you be the best person you can.
Yeah.
You know, that person's probably going to be very kind.
Unless you yourself are an unkind person, then just go find another unkind person.
Exactly, yeah. Save the kind people.
You can torment each other the rest of your lives.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah, that should be the way it works.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. If you're not kind, you shouldn't get to take a kind person.
I know, unfortunately, like, narcissists love
kind
to be
people.
With.
Oh, that they're drawn. They're like, I need that kind person in my life so that I can feed off of them.
Yeah.
And drain them.
Yeah. I know.
And it's hard to spot a narcissist. So
they're very charming.
There you go.
They are.
You know, I wanted to say, too, that this movie opens with one of my favorite bands.
Oh,
the New Pornographers, the song Look Out on the Meridian Harbor. It's one of my favorite bands.
I did not know.
So
that
as soon as the movie started, I'm like, what? I love this song. And this is one of my favorite bands ever.
Yeah.
That's the coolest.
It pulled me right in.
I mean, what a niche band too. Like, it's not like, oh, it's, you know, it's NXS or it's, you know, Nirvana or it's, you know,
I love that. That's so cool.
I had to write it down in my notes. I'm like, immediately, I'm like, I love this movie already. Yes. They chose a very good opening song.
They did.
One of my favorites.
Did you guys have any favorite lines?
I didn't write anything down.
I'm
trying to think if I did too. Like, I've got one page worth of notes that I didn't even look at.
The mom had a really neat line when she was talking about, with some of the father stuff, the mom was talking a little bit about, you know, realizing that she's like, you have to understand I'm not perfect. And she had some really cool, I would say the mom's videos were full of amazing one-liners. I can't tell you what my favorite one would be.
Yeah. I can either. But.
Oh.
But I was crying too
much
to be able to.
This was my favorite line, actually. And I think this is a line you're alluding to. Knowing doesn't lessen the pain. It just gives it a head start.
Oh,
that's a very good.
And that was the line I think you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was, yeah, I wrote that one down in my phone, my notebook. It's like, I think there was something.
Yeah. That was pretty potent.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great book. We didn't read the book. We watched the movie.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I would recommend this movie to anybody.
Me too.
I think it's a really great.
If you don't take the cheesy cop out.
Yes.
You have to understand the point of this movie is self-autonomy, not rating your partner.
That's why it's called the life list.
Yeah. Yep. Not rate your partner. Yeah. The love list. This isn't the love list.
This is the life list.
This is the life list.
Yes. Very well done. So, anyway.
Well, that was such a great movie.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Next week, we are going to, we have, because we pre-record. Let's just be real about it. We read this. I really liked the Harry Hirambees.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And
then
we had a chat
with Gerald Everett Jones, and he's
amazing. He is such a wonderful man.
He needs to have a story hour.
He kind of does. He's on, my brain just. He has something that you can.
Yeah.
I need to start listening to that because I want to just.
Substack.
Oh, yes, he does. And that's true. Yeah. And I haven't, I haven't started exploring those because we just got a whole big dose of him, but I need a dose of him all the time. I'm like,
no,
he's like the mom in the love list. He's like words of wisdom and great stories.
Yes.
So true.
So please. Tune into that.
I love that book. I will encourage people to read that book because, it was kind of suspenseful, page turner.
Yeah,
and
the
big life lesson, like it came right at the end. It was so well done.
It was so well done.
So I really enjoyed that. So,
and it's true. It's about that self discovery.
Yeah,
and learning who you are.
Yeah, and then we're gonna get into October where we like our spooky love.
Yeah. Oh, warm bodies. I love
warm bodies. So if you guys want to check into those warm bodies starring Nicholas Holt.
I want to check into some
Teresa
warm bodies.
Palmer.
I have a particular one I like.
You're so funny. Yeah, do so. And then check out our website. We have links to socials. You can get a hold of us. One of the things I love is interviewing couples. Please reach out to us if you want to tell us your love story or some life lessons you've learned.
You know, all the people that have been reaching out to us, like, that is just so cool because I'm just like, oh!
Pretty rough.
We have met some really amazing people.
From all over the country.
We've had some authors reach out to us. Hey, here's our book. And I've really enjoyed
that. I've loved that too.
Oh my gosh, too. And it's so really fun to, like, interview the couples, especially romance book authors. It's so fun to learn about their personal life.
I loved Mike and Allison.
So cute. Yes. And then also I know one of the interviews that we've had, you know, is just even with people who are professional people who help other people, you know, kind mm-hmm. of find their self-autonomy
yes.
and how to incorporate the, that into a relationship in a healthy way. Yeah. And we have another one coming up too, where
Brian and Kristen,
I know
we just
did them. I know, but yeah. we also have another one coming up with the psychologist.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So lots of good,
yeah, stuff. Lots of cool yeah, things
stuff to come. I'm just loving it. So please reach out to us.
Yes.
We love interacting with you.
Yeah.
MyPerfectRomance.com.
Yeah. All right.
XOXO. Well,
thanks, everyone.
Bye. Bye.